Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Kevin Shays. I'm counsel for the three joint appellants in this case, Herzog Transit Services, Dallas Area Rapid Transit, called DART, and the Fort Worth Transportation Authority, called the T. The facts in this case are simple and undisputed. DART and the T own a rail line between Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas. Four interstate freight railroads operate on or across this rail line. Herzog is the contract operator of the intrastate passenger rail service sponsored by DART and the T, but also dispatches freight trains on the rail line. The issue in the case is whether Herzog's dispatching of the interstate freight trains on the line makes it an employer under the Railroad Retirement and Railroad Unemployment Insurance Acts, which I will refer to collectively as the Retirement Act.
What is the relationship between Herzog and Trinity?
Trinity is a trade name developed by DART and the T. There is no relationship per se between Herzog and Trinity. Under the relevant provision of the Retirement Act, Herzog is an employer if it is a carrier by railroad subject to the jurisdiction of the Surface Transportation Board, the STB. The STB has jurisdiction over transportation by rail carrier that is conducted as part of the interstate rail network. Although the Railtran case and other arguments in our papers lend support, this case can be decided in favor of the joint appellants based on the rail carrier element of the statutory definition. A rail carrier is defined in the statute as a person providing common carrier railroad transportation. Now, the term common carrier, which is vital in this case, is not defined in the statute. It's defined in case law. It's defined in case law to mean an entity that holds itself out to the public as engaged in the business of transporting passengers or property. Now, there are other elements in the case law with respect to common carrier status, but the essence of it is this holding out to the public. And the cases guide that the court needs to look at the relationship of the entity in question to the public.
There's also this interstate qualifier.
That's right, Your Honor. In addition to being a common carrier, a rail carrier, the transportation in question has to be part of the interstate rail network.
And Herzog was the contract operator of a wholly intrastate line. That's this Trinity line, or the line that goes by the name of Trinity, apparently. And the only interstate function that it contracted to perform was this dispatching of the freight trains.
That's correct, Your Honor. I think that there is no dispute about the nature of the intrastate passenger service that Herzog provides. I think that the issue is limited to whether Herzog's dispatching of the interstate freight trains triggers employer status. If you look at the facts of the case in light of this definition of rail carrier, Herzog dispatches these freight trains under a contract to DART and the T. Now, DART and the T have an obligation to provide the dispatching services as the owner of the line, because the four freight railroads, each in their own way, have the right to operate on that property. But the general public has no rights to use this line to move freight. The only entity, the only element of the general public that uses this line to move freight is the customers of the freight railroads. And Herzog has no privity, it has no relationship, it has no communication with the customers of those freight railroads. Herzog does not hold itself out in any way, shape, or form when it provides these dispatching services to the public as a provider of transportation, as a provider of dispatching. Herzog, therefore, is not a carrier, so it can't, not a common carrier, so it can't be a rail carrier under the statute, so it can't be subject to STB jurisdiction, and therefore it can't be a Retirement Act employer. Now, in the decision under review, the board does not address this statutory criteria. The board's decision relies upon several factors, including the fact that dispatching is important, that it's vital to railroad operations. We agree that those statements are true. We just don't think they're relevant under the statutory criteria. The board, in the decision and its brief, argues that the fact that the Railroad Retirement Board regulates dispatching is a basis for the decision. The board, the FRA, the Federal Railroad Administration, does indeed regulate the hours of service of dispatchers. It's simply not relevant or statutory. The board relies on a notion that dispatching is a direct transportation service, whereas car supply and track maintenance and signal maintenance are indirect services. We would submit that's arbitrary and not statutory. There are several other bases for the decision. One is that train dispatching is similar to train driving. Well, that also occurs to us to be arbitrary and not statutory. There's the notion that dispatchers use technology. We would have the same response. There's the notion that a railroad can't work without dispatching, which is true but not statutory. There are also several cases cited in the decision and discussed in the brief. We think, for the reasons that we set forth in our brief, those cases are all distinguishable. The board either thinks that STB jurisdiction over Herzog is not necessary to find Railroad Retirement Act employer status, or the board thinks that STB jurisdiction is required, but that somehow it can find employer status without addressing the rail carrier issue, among other things. We would submit that either way, the decision under review has no reasonable basis in law, because the board would be asking this court, in affirming the decision, to ignore clear statutory language. This court, we believe, should rule as a matter of law that Herzog is not a Retirement Act employer.
The board really didn't, as you've pointed out, make any effort to grapple with the statutory definition and all of its interlocking parts. Does that counsel in favor of a remand to the agency to take a look at this in the first instance? There isn't a whole lot of case law on this.
Well, Your Honor, I don't think a remand is necessary, because there is significant case law on the notion of holding out and this notion that you can't be a carrier, a common carrier, if you don't hold yourself out. There's no lack of guidance there. But the
Yeah, I don't think that's the problematic part of this. There's the secondary, I mean, clearly if there's clear indicia of operation as an interstate common carrier, that's going to bring the entity within the definition. But there's this subsidiary definition in the case law that talks about an entity that has the ability to materially interfere with the operations of an entity that does qualify as a common carrier, that also coming within the definition?
Well,
and there wasn't any, the board didn't deal with that aspect of the definition either.
Right. But here's the path that we see. On rail carrier, if you don't have a rail carrier, it doesn't matter whether you have interstate rail nexus or not. And to the issue that you raise about interference or control, the Surface Transportation Board does not need to regulate an entity as a carrier to protect the rail system from interference. If a highway department does a terrible job of fixing a road crossing and the trains can't operate, the Surface Transportation Board has authority to fix that crossing, even though nobody would argue that the State Department of Transportation that didn't fix the crossing is a carrier. So if this court were to take the case and decide it without remand on the rail carrier element of the test, it wouldn't cast any doubt on the Surface Transportation Board's ability to stop interference if, say, a dispatcher wasn't following proper dispatcher protocol and was interfering with the operation of the freight trains. So I think it is possible to get to a decision. At this point, the board has, you owe no discretion to their decision. This is a pure issue of law, and I think you can decide it without having to grapple with these other elements. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Simmons?
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Rachel Simmons, attorney for Respondent Railroad Retirement Board. The decision of the board that Herzog is a rail carrier employer subject to the Railroad Retirement Act and Railroad Unemployment Insurance Act only with respect to the train dispatchers over the rail line of Trinity is based on substantial evidence and is not based on an error of law. I would like to start with maybe a little bit discussion of the Railtran case, which petitioner used in their brief, and actually uses an argument that we failed in our decision by not addressing Railtran. Petitioner never raised Railtran before this time. They had several opportunities to do so, and in particularly on their request for reconsideration before the board. So if this decision was so determinative of whether Herzog is subject to the STB or not, or Trinity is subject to the STB or not, they should have mentioned it before this time. In addition, so based on that, we feel that they're barred from raising that as well as any argument associated with that. And if the court feels that that was a proper argument to be made, it should remand the case to the board for discussion of Railtran. The board is in an administrative, they're administering proceedings before the board. They need a record. We've had no argument. We've had no briefing on Railtran and what it means to this decision. If, on the other hand, the court believes Railtran was properly raised, we don't think that it has any bearing on this case. It discusses agreements that are not in the file, so we don't know what they really say. It's a decision of the ICC and not the STB. And granted, the ICC is the precursor to the STB, but just like courts and three-member boards change over time, their philosophy may change over time. So we have no guarantee that the STB of today would say what they think the ICC said 17 years ago.
So no ICC decision has any effect on the
no,
STB?
No, I'm not saying
that's
that,
an
Your
extraordinary
Honor.
Argument.
No, I'm not saying that, Your Honor. I'm saying that this decision that they're relying on so heavily doesn't, we don't feel it says anything relevant to this case. We don't think it says that Herzog and dispatching are not outside of the purview of the, not under the jurisdiction of the STB. In fact, there is a footnote in that case that says the ICC said we note that should the designee be a carrier or a company that controls or manages other carriers, there may be a question of whether commission authorization is necessary for possible control under 49 U.S.C. 113.43. So Herzog is arguing that Herzog is the designee. And if you look at 113.23, which has been it's titled Consolidation, Merger, and Acquisition of Control. And the first sentence of that provision is that the following transactions involving rail carriers providing transportation subject to the jurisdiction of the board may be carried out only with the approval of the board. So petitioners argue Herzog is the designee. Petitioners concede Herzog controls Transit America, which is not only a covered employer under the Railroad Retirement Act, but it's an authorized rail carrier according to the STB. So if you apply that to this footnote, the ICC is stating if the designee, Herzog, controls or manages another carrier, which it does, Transit America, there may be a question of if commission authorization is necessary for control questions, and then references a provision of the law which involves rail carriers providing transportation subject to the jurisdiction of the STB, the now STB. We would argue that the ICC would only reference this section of the statute if it considered a designee who controls a rail carrier subject to its jurisdiction. So if Herzog is the designee, as petitioners claim, because it controls a rail carrier, we would argue that the ICC, now the STB, has jurisdiction over it. And with Herzog subject to the jurisdiction of the STB, petitioners' argument on this point fails. But the big argument is that we did not analyze or explain how Herzog's dispatching makes it subject to the STB. The Rail Retirement Act says an employer is any carrier by railroad subject to the jurisdiction of the STB. It says subject to, not found to be. They don't need to have a decision in hand that says something. Although the Rail Retirement Act references the STB in Title 49, and it is true that we will generally defer to the STB for determination of what is a carrier subject to their jurisdiction, we reserve the right to make that determination.
But that determination was never made in this case. The board didn't even mention any of these statutory definitions, these interlocking statutory definitions.
Well, because the board felt that the things that Herzog do make them a common carrier. The dispatching makes them a common carrier.
Well, they can't make that determination without reference to the relevant statutory law.
The board feels that under our laws, we did.
That doesn't sound terribly legal to me.
Well, we agree that there is no, we did not deal with the STB. There is no STB determination as to Herzog.
That's not what I'm asking. I mean, the board didn't even mention, much less cite and apply the statutory definitions.
The board decision incorporated the hearing examiner report, which did go through the various provisions of the ICA and the STB and explaining about commuter railroads are not, you know, they're not covered, they're an exception to the rule. But yes, we did not make an affirmative finding as to the STB with relation to Herzog's dispatching, because we felt that while we will rely on determinations by the STB if their company is a rail carrier, we have there is no decision at this point. We just applied our own laws to find them to be a rail carrier. Part of the reason behind that, as counsel said, is dispatching is a very important part of the whole rail carrier operation. It allows an entity to hold itself out as a common carrier, irrespective of the technical definitions of carrier under the ICA. Our position is that Herzog's dispatchers are performing services that are traditionally performed by railroad employees, and those services are integral to the operation of railroads. They tell the trains when to move. Trinity became a common carrier when it undertook the function of dispatching interstate freight trains. Defined otherwise would remove from retirement coverage a function that has always been performed by a common carrier engaged in interstate commerce by moving that function into an entity that would ordinarily not be subject to STB jurisdiction. Moving the function which would have made Trinity covered to Herzog made Herzog the common carrier. Herzog is controlling the movement of interstate freight, which is the essence of carrier activity. A carrier cannot avoid rail retirement coverage by parsing out inherently carrier activities to a non-carrier. The end result is to deny retirement and unemployment and sickness coverage to individuals who are integral to railroad operations. Under petitioner's theory, we could end up with a situation where interstate freight carriers could contract out dispatching to one entity, locomotive engineers to another entity, switching to another entity, and thereby avoiding railroad retirement and unemployment coverage completely.
What definition of common carrier are you using?
Just the common law definition of someone who holds himself out as a common carrier to for passengers or.
Why not the definition that's in the case law for this particular statutory scheme?
I'm not quite clear I understand your question.
The D.C. Circuit's definition?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. I felt we did. I mean, I think that, no.
The board's decision bears no relationship to that decision.
Well, we...
To be a common carrier, a company need only in practice serve the public indiscriminately and not make individualized decisions in particular cases whether on what terms to deal. An entity is a common carrier when it holds itself out to the general public as engaged in the business of transporting persons or property from place to place for compensation. And then we have this interstate qualifier mm-hmm. that also exists
right.
in the statute. And Herzog didn't do any of those things.
No, they didn't. And not in the decision under review, no. But Herzog is a common carrier. Their commuter operation offers itself out to the public.
That's wholly intrastate.
It is, and we found them not to be covered. We're only talking about the dispatchers,
right,
which is interstate.
I understand that, but the dispatching service that it performs doesn't bring it within this definition of a common carrier interstate.
Well, the board is expanding it to go along with previous board decisions that we cited in our brief.
Counsel, to get back to Judge Sykes' original question, I think, wouldn't this warrant a remand for them to clean up what you think, what you're trying to fill in?
That would be, if the court feels that would be appropriate, the board would certainly be willing to look at this in view of that, as well as review anything with respect to Railtrans should petitioners want to bring that forward.
Except what is the argument based on the statutory definition as supplemented by the case law that Herzog meets the definition and comes within the jurisdiction of the STB?
We don't know that it would come in the jurisdiction of the STB because there
is
no...
That's what the statute requires.
It says subject to.
Well, right. What's the argument that they would be subject to? I understand
the argument,
that
it would be subject to is that they are performing a service in interstate commerce as part of the interstate rail network. The dispatching is interstate, and because it is so integral to the essence of being a carrier by rail, they would be covered, were they before the STB.
But that argument doesn't track the definition of a common carrier. They're performing a sort of discrete service that isn't common carrier service. They've been contracted out to do this one thing on an interstate basis, right?
They have been, yes. But dispatching is part of being a common carrier. You have to have someone move the trains.
Right, but it doesn't make you a common carrier. It makes you a service provider.
That's what the board found. That was with the record before
right,
us.
But
that
how does that relate to the definition? I understand that's what they found, but it doesn't make any sense under the definition that's in the statutes. And that the D.C. Circuit has used for the interpretation of these statutes?
The agency feels that it was within the definition of our acts and comported with the case law that we have. But if this court feels that it should be remanded, we would look at it again.
Well, my question gets to why... if the agency is just sort of making it up as it goes along without reference to what the statutes say?
Well, making it up as it goes along.
I mean, the whole tenor of your argument, the board feels this, the board feels that, I mean, that's not a legal argument. That's the board wants these people to be covered.
Because they're doing...
Because it makes good sense from a policy standpoint, but that's not an argument based on law. So if that's what the board is going to say on a remand, then it's going to be right back here again, and we're going to say you did it wrong again.
Okay. Well... That would be for the court to decide. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. You have 3 minutes, Mr. Chief.
Just a couple of quick things. First of all, the hearing examiner's report does not contain the statutory analysis. Secondly, to the policy issue, to the floodgate argument, if what counsel described occurred and railroads started to contract out driving of trains and other on-train personnel, they would run smack dab into existing case law that says that the individuals providing those train driving services are construed to be the employees of the railroads whose trains they're driving. So there is no risk, separate and apart from the notion that this is really a congressional issue, a political branch issue. If it happens, it won't happen because of this other case law that hasn't been relevant in the appeal. Third, the Railtran case is part of the case law about what a carrier is.
So if I could go back to the point you just made. So we're just talking about which employer pays into the retirement fund, right?
Well, no. My point is that if this case is seen as some kind of precursor to railroads contracting out everything that they do, that won't work to avoid railroad retirement tax, because in that case, the contractors driving the trains would be construed to be the employees of the freight railroads. The statute protects against that without, it's, I think, a different issue. To the Railtran case and to this notion that we're barred from raising it, we argued below that this was not a Railroad Ventures case. Railroad Ventures is case law exception. When you have a carrier under certain circumstances, the board has interpreted the Retirement Act to allow that carrier to not pay the tax. And the gist of it is that somebody else is providing the services, and they are on the system. But that Railroad Ventures case is based on the premise that the company in question is a carrier. We argued at each step of the way below that Railroad Ventures didn't apply. We were arguing that we were not a carrier. Railtran is just what we came up with as the best explanation because it deals with the same, almost literally the same set of facts. So it's not the first time that we raised this rail carrier statutory argument. And finally, I would say that this notion about remand, there are no facts in dispute here. And I think counsel's argument today demonstrates that they don't have any new legal argument that they need to develop. There's really nothing left for the retirement board to do in this case. And these agencies, DART and the T, and Herzog, have been at this for 4 years, and we'd like the court to decide the case. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.